reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Shall we pray? Our Father, we know that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes from your mouth. As Al speaks, we ask that you will feed us by your word, strengthen us, sustain us, so that we might live to please you. For the sake of the honour of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. In 1994, Steve Bidolf published a book called Manhood. He writes a chapter about the competition that men feel with one another in all aspects of life. I'll read you a paragraph of it. Steve Bidolf writes, "Competition is the bane of men's lives. To this day, when I sit down in a public place, beside a swimming pool, for example, I relax and feel good if there is no one else around. If another man arrives, I first run a check to see that he is no physical threat, that he is not able to mug me. No one has ever mugged me or hurt me since childhood, but the feeling still lives. Women, I understand this reflex for different reasons. Then I get to assessing whether he is stronger, has better clothes, or is more athletic. If he is with a woman, I look for signs that she doesn't really like him. If the car park is within view, I check out his car for comparison with my own, a good guide to income and status as well as taste. Even if he is friendly and a conversation starts, I consider in what light to present myself. The inner competition goes on and on. I seem caught in a basically hostile and insecure obsession with comparisons. Now, it's a good book, but I couldn't help the feeling that I could have done better, given a little more time. Do you feel it? Just the constant comparisons with other people. I know men feel it. And I understand that women feel that comparison thing in subtly different ways. But in one week, in any given week, I can feel tall and short, rich and poor, smart and dumb, young and old, heavy and thin, all of those just depending on who I'm with. We so easily live our lives on the basis of comparisons. The other great problem with comparisons is we play relationship water polo. Now, I've spent years watching young ladies play water polo. I have three daughters, all who played it. Young ladies cease to be young ladies when they're in the water polo pool. And the way water polo works is, as I push you down, I get up higher. So I push you down and lifts me up, and that's what comparisons are all about. As I push you down, I am lifted up. We compete with one another. It is a great problem when we start to relate to God on the basis of comparisons. And that is the problem that the Lord Jesus addresses in the parable in Luke chapter 18 that Andrew just read for us, a parable we might call the good man and the bad man. Let me just read through it again. I'm sure that you've read it many times, but let me read it through again with you. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Ah, the Pharisees, so often drawn in black and looking evil in kids' Bibles or Sunday school material. Looking evil, and yet they were the good men, weren't they? They were the Bible reading, church going people of their time, concerned for holiness and the truth and prepared to stand up and fight for the truth. They were the best of people. And this one is a good man among good men. You can see he's sincere about his religion. You see the two things that guarantee sincerity? His religion touched his belly and his wallet. You know he's sincere. And he even gives thanks to God. Then we have the bad man, verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. Well, the tax collectors, of course, they're Jesus' friends, aren't they? They're the good guys, and no, they're not. They've become rich from living off the misery of others. It's hard to come up with a modern-day equivalent. I suppose drug dealer, but that seems a little bit limp. So when this man, though, calls himself a sinner, it's not mock humility. There at the end of the verse, he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So he throws himself on the mercy of God, and here's the verdict, verse 14. I tell you that this man, namely the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. To be justified is a term from the law courts. We're saying here the judge, God, looks at this man and declares him righteous. To be justified or declared righteous, the same thing. God says, you are okay before me, you are okay before the law. See what Jesus is saying here? The bad man is accepted and the good man is rejected. Now here's where familiarity can kind of deaden our response to this. Because as I read the room, we're not exactly on the verge of a riot. We just kind of, the original audience who heard this, it would have been a slap in the face. And yet our familiarity so easily turns it into a kind of a, yes, get on with it, would you? We lose it. I wonder if you can just, if we can just think ourselves into the, what the original hearers heard, and that is the hard-working, honest, Bible-believing, church-attending, rotary-going, charity-giving man is rejected. And the evil man, what if it was the child molester or the pedophile or the rapist stood at a distance and is justified? Let me just quickly have a look at the story again and see, I had the wrong label, didn't I? It's not the story of the good man and the bad man, it's the story of the proud man and the humble man. And what's the good man's problem? He's sincere, he's doing the right thing. His problem is this, he compares himself to others. I didn't read verse 9 before. Did you notice? How does Luke introduce the parable? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Literally in the original, to those who were trusting in themselves that they were righteous and despised the rest. Pride is one thing that God cannot abide. You notice in verse 11, the Pharisee prays, you could translate it, he prays about himself or even to himself. He's the centre of his prayer. Aren't I good? Really, aren't I? He looks sideways and so has contempt for others. The humble man, he doesn't look sideways, he doesn't look anywhere. He just throws himself on the mercy of God. That's all he can do. And the verdict, do you notice the contrast? Verse 9, it's those who are self-righteous and proud. Verse 14, God declares the humble righteous or justifies them. The problem with this parable is, my guess is we've all read it dozens of times. It's just so familiar that we so easily lose the sharp edge of it. And it's so natural to compare ourselves with others. It's the way the world works from the time we're little children. And the trouble is, it's the way the Christian world so easily works. Those comparisons. I'm really better than him, or I'm better than her, or I don't do that the way they do, or I've given more, or I've worked harder, or I'm more reliable, or I'm more orthodox, or I'm more compassionate, or I'm more humble, or I've achieved more, or... And after all, in the comparison games, ladies and gentlemen, we're the winners, aren't we? I mean, we're synod reps. And not only are we're synod reps who come early. Huh? Have we served the Lord Jesus? Yes. And what should our attitude be when we have served him? He tells us in chapter 17, verse 10. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. The proud man looked at others and despised them. The humble man didn't look sideways. He was only concerned about himself and God. We so easily lose the sharp edge of the gospel. So easily. I'll tell you how we do it. Imagine 1 year later, the tax collector comes back to the temple to pray. Or the former tax collector comes back to the temple to pray. How would we want him to pray? The tax collector stood and, or the former tax collector stood and prayed and said, thank you, God, that I've cleaned up my act. Thank you that I'm now living honestly. Thank you that I go to a Bible-based church and a Bible study group. Thank you that I'm giving to church by direct debit and substantially more than $18 a week. Thank you that I can now listen to soft rock Christian music in my car. Thank you that I'm a better person than my former friends who haven't changed. Don't we so easily turn the Pharisee, or turn the tax collector, into the Pharisee? But you see, you keep the sharp edge when you think, what if a year later he came back and he hadn't changed? What if a year later he came back and he was still the tax collector? And hadn't changed, was still stealing and making money out of the misery of others and stood in the temple and beat his breast and threw himself on the mercy of God. God would forgive him, wouldn't he? A second year? What about if the third year he came back and hadn't changed and threw himself on the mercy? God would forgive him. A fourth year? How many? Up to seven? No, up to 70 times seven, our Lord says. God forgives sinners who turn to him. Have you been a Christian for a while? I've been a Christian 27 years. I know many of you here have been in the kingdom much longer than me. A little reminder from this parable, we mustn't look sideways. We must not compare ourselves with others. Because the subtle temptation to the Christian heart, especially as we get older, is that subtle pride of comparing ourselves to others. How good I am. How much I know, how much I've given up, how much I've done, how hard I work. Let us remember the lesson of this parable. Let us not compare ourselves with others, but simply trust the mercy of God in Christ, the God who has mercy on sinners.